1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the dead last day of 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes
after the hour.
I didn't forget the donuts.
You absolutely forgot the donuts.
I merely had
forgot the donuts.
That's right, yeah.
Fess up.
Well, I mean, you brought the rum balls and the little chocolatey cookie things.
Yeah, I covered
your
butt.
Yeah, Glenn, you can come in and get stuff from Dave. Because Rob didn't bring the donuts.
Don't give the news anchor rum balls. Not until afternoon.
You slacked off.
As opposed to us, I suppose. Well, we're going to be bringing you all kinds of news, views, stuff you can use. Give us a call. You heard the numbers. Before we get to the phones, let's talk a little bit about the news. Biggest thing in the news this week. Apple is facing several federal lawsuits. They've had a little imbroglio about their options trading.
Again?
Exactly.
Irregularities.
I don't care how much you sugarcoat it, this
food.
One's not good. They've had a delayed regulatory filing, and the Securities and Exchange Administration is a little upset about them. That's not the only one, though. There is a federal lawsuit over the copy protection system we all know and bemoan that keeps iTunes music and video from playing on rival media players and also keeps content purchased elsewhere from being easily playable on iPods. The suit alleges that the company created an illegal monopoly by tying iTunes content to its market-leading iPod. Another lawsuit alleges that the logic board of Apple's iBook G4 fails at an abnormally high rate. Another one alleges patent infringement on a Nike iPod product. And the next time we talk, we'll talk more in depth about the options probe. But there's just so far there's several of them all in federal court right now. I personally am not a huge fan of copy protection. I absolutely admit it. I certainly understand why people want it. I understand that. I'm just not a fan of it myself. I certainly believe in paying for what I listen to, but I really like to listen to it on different devices at different times, and I can't.
Hopefully Microsoft will also get sued then.
I hope so.
Because their digital right management precludes it from playing on other players as well.
Yeah, right. That doesn't make any of them right. It just makes all of them wrong.
Yeah.
So that's my hope. And then
in fact, if anything, Microsoft's is more restrictive than Apple's.
Yes, it is. So we'll see. The big thing here is, of course, if this suit goes through, if in fact the federal court finds that Apple did create an illegal monopoly, it'll be a lot easier to turn around and sue
even
Microsoft
if it was by accident.
Thing. It doesn't matter.
They created such a great product, everyone wants one, and they accidentally got a monopoly?
No, the monopoly part. No, the monopoly part is that what you buy from iTunes, you can only play on an iPod. That's the monopoly.
Easily play. You can play it on other things, but it's a little trickier.
But to do so, you have to essentially circumvent the copy protection.
Basically,
you have to perform an illegal act to play it anywhere other than on an iPod.
See, now that brings up, because we talked about this in the past, the fight between your legal right of backup and the illegal circumvent copy protection. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Right, says it's illegal to circumvent copy protection, even if you do so what used to be legally.
Right.
You know, two people in a clean room, one guy, feeding requirements in.
Right.
If you take your iTunes music and back it up onto CD, you have now stripped the copy protection.
Right.
Which is illegal?
Yes.
But you have the legal right to make a backup copy.
Apparently not.
Well, yeah, that's part of the copyright law. You have a legal right to make a backup copy, but you cannot strip the copy protection.
Yeah, so pass the rumbles. This is going to be a lot easier to talk about if I'm drunk.
It's two different laws fighting each other, and you know, we all can agree that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act in itself is bad legislation.
Yes, it is.
Way too restrictive.
Yes, it is. At any rate, we'll follow these and see where they go. This is going to be a long time before there's any sort of resolution on them, but we'll continue to follow where this takes us, and we'll let you know how it goes.
It's always interesting to read Apple's 10Q filing because of they have to list all these lawsuits, and you know, for years there have been, you know, two or three little tiny, you know, almost, you know, laughable lawsuits.
Right.
Now they got some pretty major ones.
These are big. These are in federal court. These are serious, and so we'll see what the outcome is.
The CFO resigned over it.
Yep, and well, he should have.
Yep,
frankly. All right, our first caller is Jim from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Morning, Nick. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you.
And it happens to concern iTunes.
There you go.
Okay, I got a 5-year-old Dell computer, and my C drive is 40 gigabytes, and it's pretty much almost full. And I had installed a secondary drive of 80 gigabytes a year or so ago. 2 years ago, I got off the net. I disconnected from the internet, and I just use the computer for work I bring home or for just recreational.
Okay.
Now, I want to move 10 gigabytes of music from my C drive to my F drive, of which 5 gigabytes is under iTunes. And now I'm no longer on the net. So because of that, I'm concerned if I try to move the iTunes, which is resident on my C drive, over to my other slave drive, that I'll hit into that DMRA and cause iTunes to no longer function. And I have no way to recover from that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jim. I actually just did this on my Windows box. Moved from my C drive to a much bigger, actually my I drive, but that doesn't matter. And I can't tell you, I just did it, but I can't say exactly where it is. Well, there's a choice.
Posting the link on how to do it. In iTunes preferences, you tell it where your music is.
Right. And then
it can be on any volume.
Right. And then what you do is, first, you copy, not move.
Right.
Copy the folders over to where you want them.
Okay.
Then you go in and tell iTunes, oh, they're in the new place now.
Okay.
iTunes accepts that, goes and finds them. Apple did a very nice job of this. Everything is self-contained. Unlike most Windows stuff, everything is self-contained. So if you move the whole thing, then it's okay. So iTunes finds it there, accepts it there, it's happy there. Wait a couple of days, then you can delete it off C.
One last question on that. Would I be able to move the iTunes application itself, or should it stay on the C drive?
Applications have to be on the C drive.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that does bring up an interesting point. His concern was the copy protection, that you are allowed to play, you know, part of the Fair Play copy protection is you're allowed to play your iTunes music on 5 authorized computers. And the definition of computer has come under fire.
Right.
The definition of computer is the Ethernet hardware address and the operating system you're running. So for most people, that's a physical computer. But there have been a lot of posts recently online. So by this caller moving it, moving his music to the D drive, it doesn't matter because he's still running the same OS and the same logic board. Basically, that can be an issue if you have a problem with your logic board and replace your logic board. It's now a new computer. And you need to deauthorize the old one so you can authorize the new one, or it counts as one of your 5. The problem has started showing up in virtual machines. So now that a lot of people are running virtual machines, you have a Mac box, you have a Windows virtual environment in it, you might have a Linux virtual environment in it. Each one of those virtual machines counts as one of your 5. And there was an article in a recent trade magazine that the author had 5 physical computers, but he had 15 or 20 virtual machines between them because he keeps old versions of the operating system around,
right.
Different Macs, different Windows, different Unix. And so Apple's limit of 5 is really annoying him, and he wants Apple to change that. We'll see if they do, but
well,
for the average folks, a physical machine is enough.
Right. But it shouldn't be difficult at all to do, Jim. You go for it. Knock yourself out.
And I posted the link in the facts, or the link list on how to do it.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, I didn't bring the donuts, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe. At 16 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
I was just listening to the music for a second. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Sometimes I just want to listen to the music. Is that a problem for
you? The voices in your head stop long enough?
Never. The voices in my head, they were singing along, though. I was getting harmony, so I was happy for a moment.
Look at all the crud he pulled out of that
mouse. After the hour, you're listening to sound bites. What?
Look at all the crud he pulled out of that mouse.
Yeah, I know it.
New Year's resolution, clean your mouse ball.
Exactly right. Good idea, actually. All right, we're back. Before we go back to the phones, we're beating up on Apple this month. It's the month of Apple browser bugs, or Apple bugs. That'll be happening. But we talked in the last segment about three lawsuits that Apple is facing in federal court, at least two of which will likely hit the Supreme Court before this is all done. Excuse me. And one of the other ones is Apple has restated its earnings, an investigation into past stock option grants at Apple Computer has found that CEO Steve Jobs was aware of procedural irregularities, but did not benefit personally from the grants or understanding from the grants, nor did he understand the accounting implications. I sympathize with that. The company also said it is restating its financial results with a total impact of $84 million, including $21 million combined for the years 2004, 2005, and 2006. As a result of the options probe, the investigators found that Apple made a number of stock grants where the grants dates were intentionally selected to obtain favorable exercise prices. They reported serious concerns over the way the two former officers, whom Apple did not name, although the CFO resigned, accounted for stock option grants. Apple announced in June that an internal review had discovered irregularities, and I only had one rumble in the way it granted stocks from 1997 to 2001, including a grant to Jobs. It did form a special committee of outside directors who hired investigators to research the company's option granting practices. Apple warned that the investigation and related legal and other services could weigh down its business in the future. It also warned that the situation has exposed the company to litigation risks, including one lawsuit filed in August. That case, which is in the U.S. District Court of the Northern District of California, alleges improper backdating of stock option grants. This is bad stuff, and the SEC is pretty serious about this one. I don't know what the final implications are for Apple, but I'll tell you right now, they're probably not going to be really, really good.
Have another rumble. That's, yeah. That's why you had problems getting through that.
That's right. Once I start talking about legal stuff, I have to have a rumble.
Well, I think I remember a press release a little while ago that they'd already set aside a couple $100 million for any possible fines.
Right, right. Well, the question is not the fines. Apple is cash rich. They don't even notice the fines. It's sanctions.
Yeah.
If the SEC puts sanctions on them, there's going to be trouble. It's not going to be good for Apple if that happens. And you know, it's all a matter of money irregularity. I hate to see it. I hate to see it. But there it is. We'll continue to follow that one as well and let you know what's going on. In the meantime, we have Dennis from Honeyoy who's got a question. Dennis, what's your question?
Gentlemen, I have a power system management malfunction I'm trying to find a solution for. I set the system to turn the monitor and to power down, you know, at 15 minutes and never turn the hard drive off. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't operate. It sits there and my computer runs all the time, no mm-hmm. matter what I do to those settings.
Yeah. Are you running a desktop or a laptop?
Desktop.
That's fairly normal.
Yeah. That's normal.
Power settings don't work. Turn the machine off when you want to.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Power settings were designed for laptops, and they require special circuits on the laptops.
Yep.
Most desktops don't have those circuits. They're in the BIOS, and certainly they're in Windows because it's easier to just write one BIOS and write one Windows. But if the circuits don't exist, if the capability is not built into the motherboard, that won't happen. Many people nowadays, particularly they're buying real high-end computers, which are really using what used to be thought of strictly as server motherboards.
Yeah, it used to run, Nick. It did work at one time, and now it stopped.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is with the various updates right now, one thing is you don't want to use those anyways. The best thing to do is you've got the hard drive spinning all the time anyways.
Correct.
So the thing you need to do to really save energy is just turn off the monitor. You don't have to worry about these sleep modes because 90% of the time, Windows doesn't always react good from going into sleep mode.
It has trouble waking
up. It has trouble waking up. Applications can lock up and everything else. And you said, oh, yes, it did work a while ago. Yes, I believe you.
Yeah.
But what happens is again, Windows does, you know, their weekly and monthly updates.
Yeah.
And these updates can interrupt things that were working fine, now don't, because they were an exploit of a due to a various virus or glitch, you know, hitch in the get-along.
And here's the other thing, Dennis.
Yeah.
Unless you're using an old-fashioned CRT monitor.
Right, that's the big thing. Replace your CRT with a low-energy LCD.
Right, unless you're using a CRT for your monitor, running your television for a couple of hours actually uses way more power than running your computer 24/7.
So, but it's the cumulative effect of hundreds of millions of computers. The Energy Star Consortium has come out trying to get computers to be more efficient.
Right.
And in fact, in England, they're getting ready to ban standby power because no one uses it. It doesn't work right. Turn the thing off when you want.
Right, right. But when it's on, don't worry about it being on. Turn it off when you're done or leave it on and accept the hit. But it's not going to be a lot. Most machines, less than 100 watt light bulb if they're running idle, and you know that's take a look at the stuff in your house. You're going to find that's not the big one. We're going to take a quick break. The mighty Glenn Lamberts is in to give us all the news, weather, sports, stuff like that. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. It is 26 minutes after the hour, and even though Rob did not bring the donuts, we still love him. We still love him. He's not going to feel bad about this. We're going to make him feel bad about this at some later point. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites. The greatest computer show in the known universe, only on 1180 WHAM.
It's Resolution.
New Year's Day, the bowls are on Wham. Catch Michigan and USC in the Rose Bowl Saturday at 4:30 on 50,000 watt, 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And Glenn rocking out over there.
Yeah,
in the
corner. Like I've always said, it's so nice to work here at the home. You know
either
what I'm
that
saying?
Or he's teetering and about to fall over. I'm not sure which that was. At 32 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites. Before we go back to the phones.
Well, hang on a minute. Is that Carlos?
Hello?
Brown? No, the music, Santana.
I don't know.
What's your little screen say?
It says, you know what it says?
Music.
Music. That's
nice.
What it says.
It's good. All right. Microsoft has started linking users' search habits with other personal information as it prepares to show more personalized advertisements. With the use of cookies, Microsoft can link information users provide when they sign up for Hotmail, email, and other services with data on what they view and search for on various Microsoft sites, such as those for Maps, web journals, and finance. Microsoft uses that information to build a profile for a certain class of users, for example, women over 30 who read financial news. And they sell marketers the opportunity to reach that target group as they surf Microsoft properties. The company joins Yahoo and other major internet sites in implementing personalized ads based on web surfing habits, a practice known as behavioral targeting. Microsoft rolled out this behavioral targeting technology in early September after testing it for about a year. The company said it plans to expand its use around the world, but did not disclose any dates. Microsoft found that behavioral targeting increased by as much as 76% the likelihood that a visitor would click on an ad. Although critics worry about companies knowing too much about their customers, Microsoft and other proponents of behavioral targeting believe users ultimately benefit when they see only ads relevant to them. We think that if we can provide the better experience in advertising as well as content, people will spend more time on our network. So, all those of you who've been paranoid kooks all these years thinking that Microsoft is tracking you, as it turns out, you were right.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you.
Right. We're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is John from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you? Same to you.
I have a PC, and I've got a bunch of DVAVI files. They range in size from, say, 7 gigs to 34 gigs. And I've got a total of about 400 gigs. I'm trying to move these files to a Mac through an external hard drive. And what I'm seeing is the only way to do this is to format an external hard drive in FAT32, but that means I have to cut up all the files, right?
No and no. The Macintosh will read an NTFS volume, but it won't write them. So you can plug in an external NTFS drive into the Mac. It will show up in, as a read-only volume, like a CD, and you can copy the files off of it.
Beautiful.
In FAT32, it can read and write the files.
Okay. How do you get files if you were going the opposite way if you needed to?
Same way. Plug a FAT32 or NTFS volume into your Mac. Or you can format a drive.
You just said you can't write an NTFS volume.
That's true, yeah. You can read an NTFS volume. So
FAT32.
Why can't you just hook the two computers together?
Well, that's the other way you can do it. You can network the two computers and use file sharing between them.
Okay, all right.
And that means, A, it's a one-step process, and B, it doesn't matter what the file size is. It certainly takes longer, but...
Yeah.
Well, that's debatable, because you got to copy everything twice with an external drive, once to the drive, once to the new computer,
right,
or
so
through
even
the network.
It goes twice as fast, you have to do it twice anyway.
Especially if, all the modern Macs have gigabit Ethernet built in. PCs, I don't know, have they gone to gigabit standard yet? So, 1,000 megabit Ethernet, that's pretty zippy.
Now you have to have a gigabit router
or a
crossover cable
between
or whatever.
The two, Well, actually, the Macs are auto-sensing now, so you plug a straight cable in and it crosses it for you.
Sure.
All right. Well, that helps me out a lot. At least I know I can take an NTSF drive and plug it into a Mac, and they can pull the files off.
Yep.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
A lot of the flash drives you see these days are FAT32 formatted, so they work on both platforms.
Right. Right,
which
isn't
a big deal. Now, that's a danger to some Mac users because backup drives, it's so common to use a hard drive for backup or a flash drive for backup. If you're going to use it on a Mac or Windows, leave it in FAT32. But if you're going to use it only on your Mac, reformat it in the Mac HFS, the hierarchical filing system, because we have our own acronyms.
Well, right, of course you do.
And because oftentimes Mac files don't live well on a Windows disk.
Right. Or... get one of those lovely CDs. I'm going to keep mentioning it because I use mine for everything now.
Get an Ethernet disk,
Get an Ethernet disk, and it doesn't matter what the operating system is.
Because it just sees it as
a volume.
A network volume.
Right, exactly. All right, our next caller is Tim on a cell phone. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Listen, my question is, my Norton antivirus is running out like today or yesterday. It's pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that makes my computer, it's XP, okay, I heard it makes it run really slow, which it does.
Yep.
And I think I heard you guys talking about securitytango.com.
Yes.
And what I'm wondering is, can I just download good protection off the internet and not have to worry about it?
Yes. If you go to securitytango.com, you'll see any one of a number of products that are available there. We recommend AVG, which has a free version.
AVG.
AVG, antivirus Grisoft, I guess, because Grisoft is the name of the company. But the idea is that it's free and it works phenomenally well. I use it on all my Windows machines and I'm very well protected. I'm very happy with it.
And that's the big trick is yes, you can download free software, reputable free software.
That's harder.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why we've got Security Tango.
So if you use the AVG for the antivirus, Zone Alarm for your firewall, Spybot and Nataware, you get the spam all covered.
Okay, great. Let me ask you, should I uninstall the Norton?
Yes.
Definitely.
You've got to, because you can't...
Uninstall it with extreme prejudice.
You can't have two antivirus softwares running correctly on the same system and expect the machine to work correctly.
Okay, well, I'm going to do that, guys.
There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff on the Security Tango that I think people need to be aware of. Of course, there's my blog.
Yep.
Which I just updated yesterday and the day before, as a matter of fact.
I got another complaint this week that Security Tango is too complex, and the answer is yes.
Yes, it is.
Sorry. That's the way Windows is.
What people want is a great big red button that says, clean my machine, and takes all of 2 seconds.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to automate that.
Now, some guys in the forums are trying to automate it and finding how difficult it is.
Eagle Wolf has been working hard at it. It's not easy, but he's working at it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. It is 40 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. All right. Before we get back to the phones... Vista, as you know, Windows Vista has been on the market for nearly a month for corporate users, but enterprise users and industry experts agree that Microsoft's latest and latest OS is still not quite ready to replace XP. The problem is not with the software itself. By most accounts, Vista is technically solid, but with myriad peripheral issues that Microsoft must work out to take the pain out of using Vista. Take patching, for example. On December 12th, Microsoft released an Internet Explorer 7 fix that improved the performance of IE's phishing filter. The software has been bogged down by websites with a large number of frames. Users have been complaining. Microsoft patched the problem for XP and Server 2003 users, but not for Vista. That update will come after the consumer release of Vista hits the market sometime in January. And although Microsoft is now issuing security patches for Vista, performance-related updates such as the phishing filter are being handled on a case-by-case basis. Microsoft won't say why it's holding off on some Vista patches, even though the product is commercially available for business customers. But there's a theory going around that says Microsoft never intended anybody to run Vista prior to January. What works on Vista beyond Office 2007?
Not much.
Application compatibility is another big problem with Vista. VPN and antivirus software are among the applications at the top of the list that users say must work before they will move to Vista. Right now, if you get online, you cannot run VPNs, you cannot run antivirus software. You're pretty much naked on the internet. The most popular software in these categories, as well as other mainstream applications many business customers use, won't be available for Vista until the consumer version of the operating system is released on January 30th, 2007. Some of the applications that still aren't compatible with Vista include Lotus Notes, Cisco and Checkpoint Software's VPN clients. QuickBooks does not run on Vista. Those of you looking to move to Vista and run QuickBooks, most antivirus software, including places like Trend Micro, Intuit, who makes QuickBooks, even took time in mid-December to warn QuickBook users in a note they should hold off upgrading on Vista until after the tax season, at which point, good luck, nobody knows what'll work and what
won't.
This
is why we've been preaching, if you're going to get a new system, get it now before January 30th.
Yep.
Because that's when Vista is coming out to the home users, and that's why we've been saying the price of poker is going up.
Yep.
You're going to be paying more to pad Gates' pockets with more money, and all I consider right now, and this has been looking at XP and playing around with it, Vista is XP on steroids.
What they're saying is it's not really an upgrade, it's just an upsell.
Exactly, because all you're paying for is cuter icons and
animation. A little bit of 3D stuff, but not much.
And, you know, I mean... But on the downside of that, you have to get more memory, more video memory, faster processor, bigger hard drive, and, oh, by the way...
None of your stuff works.
All your software that currently works probably won't work because you've got to get upgraded versions.
Right, so and most of those you'll pay for.
Yeah, and you're not going to only pay for the machine, you're also going to have to pay for all these upgrades to the software.
Right, right.
Because they got to be Vista compliant.
Right, exactly. All right, our next caller is Fred from Greece, New York. Welcome, Fred. Happy New Year.
Gentlemen, good morning. I have a problem. I have a high-speed DSL service from Frontier.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And I did a speed check on it yesterday, and I did it again today. And for download speeds, it was down to 54 kilobytes per second, and then it went up to 162, and it's been varying between those every time I check it. The upload speed has been at 318 or 320, right around that number, every time I check it. What I did is I do have a wireless system, and I disconnected all that, and I went directly from my the compact Casario, coming directly from the telephone line to the Cisco and then into the computer.
Right.
Reset both of them, of course, because I understand sometimes they may not understand that it's at high speed between
right.
Frontier and here. So I went directly with the Compact. Then I took my laptop and connected that to the same system.
Right.
So I'm using two different computers. I get the same results. My download speeds are way lower than they should ever be.
Right. All right. What you need to do is talk to the folks at Frontier about this.
Okay.
I know that there are a couple of things that vary, that can vary how fast your speed is. One is your distance to the central office, which is, of course, neither central nor an office in most cases.
Right.
That can be a big factor. Also, the quality of the line.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in my neighborhood, we get squirrels eating the lines all the time. They have to come and replace them pretty regularly. And certainly with the up and down kind of weather we've been having, it's possible there's something wrong with the line. So I'd call the folks at the good folks at Frontier and have them check that. Now, I know that I get dang near 5 megabits per second download on a regular basis. So
okay.
You should certainly be getting a lot better.
And it
than
can
that.
Be the time of day, too. I mean, and this is true with any of the service, depending on how many folks are on that particular D-Slam at that particular time of day, well, like 8 o'clock in the morning, you can be guaranteed that most folks are going into work, and the first thing they do is turn on the computer and have it go check their email.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, between 8 and 10, forget
right.
it.
Right. Well, but if a speed check, that shouldn't necessarily be a problem. But I would definitely make contact with the folks at Frontier and see what they can do about that, because I agree with you, that should be higher, and they should be able to fix that for you. All right. Our next caller is Gene from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
I have a question regarding Outlook Express 6.
Right.
I have it, Roadrunner set up Outlook Express 6 for me, and I believe they put it in the preview pane mode.
Right.
Whereas I highlight the email, it automatically opens. I want to stop that automatically open so I can open it myself.
Turning off the preview pane is actually fairly easy. I think there's an F key that does it, but also you can do it right from the view menu.
View.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things you can do is, I don't have Outlook Express in front of me, but turning off the preview pane is actually pretty easy. It's just one of the...
I think it's F8.
I think it's F8 too, but Dave has opened it up on... on this machine, view,
mm-hmm.
Layout,
okay.
View layout, and
then uncheck preview pane.
Uncheck preview pane, and you're done.
Okay, great. Thanks for your help, guys.
All right, thanks.
Goodbye.
I just want to say that the lovely and talented Elaine Weinsler Francesco has
just saved Rob's butt.
Has just done Rob's job for him. Oh,
you
he's
better
mad.
Pay her big time, Rob.
She brought us donuts. She brought us donuts. God
I am
bless
never
you.
Bringing anything for any of you again. Ever.
And you'll
You're
hear
cut
this
off.
Again then.
Yeah, right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Elaine Francesco, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you at 50 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Till 1 a.m. on WHAM.
And now we've crossed the line. Is that what you're saying?
No, you guys were talking about a hitch in your get-along earlier. That was June Carter, right? Wasn't
right,
it?
Right.
And she said hitch in your get-along.
There you go. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, I'm Nick Francesco, and you're listening to Soundbites.
See, I told you I'd bring the donuts in.
You're right, Rob. I apologize.
Your
I'll never doubt you
covered.
Again.
You
Rob brought the donuts in via the agency of my beloved wife.
You
who,
owe her big time,
who says
dude.
She didn't bring them in because she loves us. She brought them in because she loves Rob and doesn't want him to get in trouble.
It's
because
I'm cute.
That's one way to look at it, certainly.
That's not what we were thinking.
Yeah, be nice.
There was some other words. Luckily, this is radio and you didn't see it.
Yeah, people keep asking where the Rob cam is. I said I broke it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Actually, something's wrong with the camera. Well, the camera's working fine today, but I can't upload anything, probably because we're on a new server.
Probably that would be the reason. All righty.
I need the new path name.
No, it should work. All right, anyway, yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. But now, kiddies, it's time for each and every one of you to sit back, to put on your little footy jammies, grab your hot cocoa and your teddy bear, and sit cross-legged on the floor around the rocking chair, because if we can wake him up and make him aware that it's 2006.
I was going to say, you're putting me...
It's Story Hour with Uncle Dave, and here he is, back from the home for a special guest appearance, Uncle Dave.
Oh, this is too much. All right, we were talking about this just a little while ago, folks. You know, we recommend you folks go to the Security Tango and get the Tango items. What part of, I guess I don't understand folks realizing, it's called free. And when it's free,
nothing wrong with free.
You don't have the right to gripe because it doesn't install itself or do the updates by itself. I've had a few folks that will sit there and say, well, I download it, but nothing happens.
Well, I see that in general with any downloading. You know, I downloaded the game, and now what? Well, you find the folder you downloaded it to. Well, I don't know where that is. You find the folder you told the program to download it to.
All right. But, right. You know, a few of the folks have even gotten the CD. Well, it doesn't run by itself. Well, no. There's a bunch of utilities on there. If you read the instructions, RTFM, you can find out how to install them. Yes, it's a little effort on your part. Well, that's a lot of work. Well, duh.
Yeah, the problem with the Tango.
You pay the $200 for all five programs.
And then here's the other big thing, though, that really puts a hitch in my get along is then they want you to, just because they bought the CD or they've downloaded the stuff from our website, they want us to walk them through on how to install it. No, that's what I do for a living, and I do this radio show, but in between that, hello. If you want my services, you'll pay for them.
That's what you do for a living.
That's what I do for a living. And not during, you know, when I'm home. Oh, I got a quick question, you know, about installing this. Bring it in. We'll do it. Oh, but it's free stuff. Why would I pay to have it installed? Well, then don't. Do it yourself.
Well, and after your wife went through and rewrote some of the instructions for novice, computer knowledge users.
Right. Even so. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're gonna we have a massive dose of Thorazine, and we're gonna send Uncle Dave back to the home.
I love it how he comes in with the very quiet music.
He does, not me. And that's why I say we need something up.
I'm hoping to keep him, a little calm, a little.
Won't happen.
Did you adjust his meds?
That's the problem. Yeah. I think we just need to set the drip higher. I think that's where the problem is. We weren't just getting enough. Into his system. Okay, we apparently hooked up the drip wrong because it's, I don't know where it is, but it shouldn't be there. We love our Story Hour with Uncle Dave. It gives him a chance to clean out his arteries.
It's good for my health.
It's good for his health.
You're keeping my heart going.
It vents all that. Yes. That's exactly right. It lets him vent all that stuff and lets him remain as calm as he normally is in between.
My wife thanks you.
But sure, I'm sure she loves it because that's right. You go home and you're happy and calm. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Oh, I see Glenn Lamberts is back. He'll be delivering the news. Then he'll be in for a rumble. But he'll be delivering the news, the views, the stuff you can use, the weather, the sports, all the most important things that you get on Wham in a regular hour. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe on the greatest radio station in the known universe. Put them together, and it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Back in a little bit.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
The Free Amigos!
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
What were you waiting for?
Now you did it.
And at Glenn 6 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Now, this, there are a million reasons I love my wife, and more of them every day. This is just one of them.
Just a dozen of them.
Yep.
Yeah, she's riding herd. This has been a relatively tame group in here today, and I can see, you know, when you put the feminine influence in.
Sure.
On a program like this, number one, the quality goes up. Number two, the horseplay goes down.
Well, when you put in the feminine influence with a left hook like she's got, you're,
that's it, and that baseball bat she's carrying, that works too, you know.
All right, before we go back to the phones, I want to talk about our poll of the week and a little bit about what goes on at our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you every week we do a new poll. Last week's poll was about the month of Apple bugs. And 216 of you voted in that particular poll, making it number 252 on the all-time hit list. Thank you. And the overwhelming majority of you, 99 votes, 46% of you, said Linux users laugh softly at the children's antics. 30% of you, they'll find as many as they find in Windows. 19% of you said they won't find any in Apple's own software. Those are the delusional people. And 6%, even more delusional, said they won't find any. This week's poll, normally there's a news story that goes along with this week's poll, but this week it's just, it's all about Christmas. For Christmas, I got, and yes, you can only pick one, too bad. The choices are a new Windows PC, a new Macintosh, a new Linux desktop, an upgrade, a music player, some nice music, some other computer thing, underwear again. And I don't do Christmas. So far, 85 of you have voted. And not surprisingly, the number one choice so far is underwear, again, followed by some other computer thing, some nice music. I don't do Christmas. An upgrade, a new Mac, a music player, a new Windows PC, and a new Linux desktop. When you are done giving us your vote, I know that's not enough for you people. I know you much prefer to jump in and speak your piece. So you can click in that little yellow box. There's a link that says, give us your opinion. That takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
You ain't kidding, Buster. And that takes you to a place where you can actually put in a little bit of text. Last week we had we finally, after what, 4 years of this? Let's see, the first one, yeah, 2002. So after about 3.5, almost 4 years of this, we finally got hit by the spammers who were spamming the opinion page. That's done now. I've added some logic to the code that got rid of all the spammers. We haven't had any since like last Wednesday or Thursday.
But it was a new class of smarter spammer that was responding to the responders that you have to do before you can post.
Right. So, but at any rate, they're gone now, and we haven't seen any of them in a week. Obviously, this is a game of leapfrog. They'll get to us as they go. Mm-hmm. Take a look at what goes on my website at asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Okay, and
boy, he's slacking. You know what?
Yeah,
all
rabbit
things.
In the headlights.
I'm just doing everything wrong today. Didn't bring the donuts. My sound effects stink. You know what? I'm out of here.
I saw him reach over. I saw him be prepared to give me a sound effect. Apparently, that sound effect was John Cage. It's John Cage music. Dead silence for 10 seconds. That's what it was.
You know, that's what happens when
AskNick.com.
Oh, I know why. I heard it and you didn't.
AskNick.com.
There we go.
Yeah, I had to butt the thing with the, and I, yeah.
Okay, very good. That's the technical explanation. I was, there was in the thing with the guy.
See, that's what happens when you get a birthday coming up and you're getting that old.
He's getting old.
I am really getting old.
You are. You're going to be 2 years away from legal, and that'll be good. So that'll be nice.
I don't
it
think
means
when
his
I,
mom
when
doesn't
I,
have to drive him to work. Each
that's
day.
Right. When I started with your show, I don't think I was legal age to drink.
No, I don't think you still
you
are.
You couldn't even reach up to the mic without that high chair.
It was so cute. He had the little booster seat so he could reach the mic.
And his mom would strap him in so he didn't fall out.
Yeah.
Well, you, Robbie's playing with the buttons.
watch me play. Boy, move the knob, drop it down.
You know, as I always said, I've got the buttons here. I will turn this show off and put on reruns of Lonsberry. You know what I'm saying?
All right, and then check out my newsletter and the forums and all the good stuff that happens on my website. I don't even know where we were with that. We're done now. Let's go back to the phones, why don't we? Because that's going to be a lot easier for everybody. We'll talk to Irwin from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Irwin. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Question. I've got a new toy for Christmas.
Congratulations.
It's a Pinnacle Studio Movie Box. I want to convert my VHS tapes, which are slowly deteriorating, to DVDs.
I just did that this week. A friend brought one over. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a blast to work with.
Yeah.
My problem, and it's not really a problem, it's extremely slow in rendering.
Well, yeah, yeah.
How fast is your computer?
It's an AMD 2600. It's got a gig and a half RAM. It's got two 250 hard drives that are SATA and rated zero strike.
Yeah. How's the video?
It's an NVIDIA 6600 GT.
Which is how much memory on that?
128.
I mean, if I was going to be doing video editing, minimum I would have started at a 256, gone up to 512.
Okay.
A video memory, yeah. But that's a pretty beefy computer.
Yeah, so it really is. Yeah. The real question is, what else have you got running in the background?
Nothing. It's a brand new install of XP. With the new hard drives. I got them yesterday.
Everything else runs real fast?
Yeah, my games run fast. It's just the rendering that seems to be slower.
It's in the video memory.
It's either the video memory or it's a consumer class software device that it only cost a couple $100, so it's going to be slow. You get the one that costs a couple $1,000 and it will be really fast.
Yeah, right. But really, I think Dave's hit it. It's one of two things. It's either the fact that there's not a lot of video RAM on the card, or the driver's not right.
Have you updated the drivers, even though you got this new video card?
Yeah, I think I'm running 8194, possibly, as far as the NVIDIA driver goes.
That's about the latest.
Yeah, I think you're pretty close.
So it could be there's also the fact that it just isn't tremendously fast. I mean, it's not going to render it in real time or anything. It's going to take a while. When you say very slow, do you mean hours?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My last one that I rendered, it was about an hour video. It took 4 hours to render and write the DVD.
Oh yeah, you're doing writing DVD. Yeah, that'll take forever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, rendering MPEG 2 is a very, very time consuming task. It's about a 2-to-1. So an hour of video will take about 2 hours to render as MPEG 2.
Yeah, this is taking 4 for the complete.
Yeah, but
once it starts to write the DVD, the DVD writes.
Right, then you're at your 16x DVD speed.
But doesn't it also go by what quality he's rendering it? You know how you can do good,
right,
better,
best. You could tune down the quality of the final output of the MPEG, and it would go faster. But then you get a lower quality.
Would it behoove me to upgrade to a Conroe 6300? I mean, how much performance would I increase as far as this goes?
It really is two things. Yeah. Part of it is certainly going to be the speed of the processor, but the other part is going to be how fast the video card renders the stuff.
Okay.
Well, this is the MPEG 2 encoding. That's all
processor.
Oh, that's
right. That's all processor.
So, yeah, get one of the Core 2 Duo chips.
Well, right off the bat, if you're willing to spend the money, let me suggest you double the amount of RAM you've got.
I've got a gig and a half now.
Yeah, double it. See if that helps, because a lot of this stuff has to do with buffering. And if it can buffer in memory, I bet you're finding your drives are thrashing all over the place. If you can buffer more of this, at least in memory, that might help.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I start there. That's a cheaper way to go than replacing the whole motherboard.
Oh, God, yes.
So try that, and if it doesn't work, I'll use the RAM in the new machine.
Well, it does. It uses DDR, and the new ones are DDR2.
Yeah, that's true. Still, it's a cheap shot to try to fix it.
Right, right. All righty. Well, I appreciate it.
There you go.
That was one of the things that Apple found and some of the testing that Macworld did on the new quad processor Xeon Mac Pros.
Yep.
Some of the Cinema 4D effects on the old quad G5 would they say take 2.5 minutes. and on the Quad Xeon took 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Xeon is inherently a phenomenally fast yep. chip. Anyway, try that stuff and let us know, Irwin. All right, and Dave now has something he'd like to say.
Yeah, I want to pass this around because, well, we're we advocate using the ABG. In the past few months, a new Trojan has made its way onto the scene. It's called the Trojan Flutter.ake, and it has been found mostly affecting the AVG users, which is the product we recommend you to use for your antivirus software. There are a couple of symptoms that you should look out for. First of all, an alert box pops up on the screen telling you about a new threat found on your computer and that you should heal it now. If you do that, your computer will restart, and that message you will set your computer will be then stuck in a loop of flooding.
And that goes back to the old fake anti-spyware messages we've talked about
yes.
in the past.
If you get this message, folks, totally ignore it. Just click the little box as an X to get out of it. Ignore it. It's another one of these scams that's trying to take over your machine and just, get you to buy and another product.
It takes you over with paranoia. So it installs spyware, not removing it.
Yeah.
And the gall of some of them that want your money.
$29.95 to remove what they put on there. So we're telling you,
and they'll add a whole bunch more. They'll remove everyone else's spyware and put their own on.
So if you are using AVG and you get this TrojanFlutter.ake warning on your screen, ignore it. We're telling you.
Basically, if you get any message that says your computer is infected with spyware, ignore it unless you are running an anti-spyware scan at that moment.
Yes.
Right.
So just be done with it and forget it and go on with your life.
There you go. All right, thank you. Our next caller is Tom from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi. I bought myself a used ThinkPad for Christmas. And, usually when I'm working, I listen to Shoutcast, a little light jazz in the background. But when I try to do it...
What station do you listen to?
Well, jazz, Monterey Bay, jazz.
You should try 90.1. 90.1 FM, local station, great jazz. Support your local folks. Anyway, go ahead. Go on.
But now that I got this new laptop, this ThinkPad, I go with Firefox, I point it at it, and I click to listen to it, and it doesn't pick it up as MP3. It does a playlist. And then Media Player doesn't know how to do a playlist.
Is it an M3U or something like that?
Or a PLS?
It downloads as PLS.
Yeah, that's a streaming media file, and you need a plug-in for Firefox to play that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. The other thing you can do is download. Are you using Windows?
Yeah, I'm using Windows XP, and I was trying to get Media Player to play it, but there's some patch for Media Player to read it, and I thought that would look like somebody was trying to get me to load a piece of software that I didn't think should be loaded.
Let me suggest that you try Winamp. At winamp.com, there is a free version.
Okay.
And that will play PLS files. Mm-hmm. It's also much smaller. The free version is much smaller and lighter than Media Player, so it'll take up less room in your system.
What about Total Recorder?
Total Recorder does not play the stream. It will record the stream, but you need something else, not the PLSs.
Okay.
Not the PLSs.
All right.
So in this particular case, Winamp at winamp.com. I think it's .com.
Well, it's a good choice for the laptop because it's, the overhead,
Yeah.
Well, yes, and it is smaller and lighter, and it should do the job. There's also a company called Twin Software at twin-software.com. And they make an audio player as well.
There's always iTunes, but that might be a little big for
that's
an old
be
laptop.
Big.
Yeah.
The smallest one is the Twins video player, which is very tiny. And but I don't know that it plays those either. I know that Winamp does. So try Winamp. It's a terrific little product, and it should do what you need it to do without any trouble.
On a side note, I just bought a house that's 100 feet away from a central office.
Cool.
About 100 feet of copper until I hit optical.
Nice.
So you're winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah, you went all the way. Have fun.
There's some people quoting in the forums. Well, it's, we should probably mention to everyone, if you haven't seen the commercials yet, Roadrunner just increased their speed without raising their prices. Interestingly enough, they're back to 10 megabit per second for $40 a month.
Which is where they started.
They started out, 10 years ago now?
Yeah.
And their premium service is 15 megabit. No, not 15 megabit. 15 megabit down. And a gentleman, Moody Blues, was posting that he's getting 100 megabit with fiber.
Oh, with Fios?
Some of the new, some cities, and in fact, Syracuse is as close as we're getting here. You can get fiber to the house and get extremely fast downloads.
Yeah, it's called Fios, F-I-O-S.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty nifty stuff. I'm waiting. I'm hoping. Yeah. I'm waiting. All right, we are going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at 22.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. All right, let's see what we've got now. Oh, we're really pounding on Apple this week. Apple's iTunes sales, music sales. Fell off a cliff in the first 6 months of 2006. Since January 2006, the number of monthly iTunes transactions declined 58%, while the average size per purchase declined by 17%, leading to a 65% overall drop in monthly iTunes revenue. It's too soon to tell if this decline was seasonal or if buyers were reaching their saturation level for digital music. Apple's iTunes Music Store is the most popular online music store in the world. Apple said it has sold over 1.5 billion, with a B, music tracks and tens of millions of TV shows and movies. The decline comes after a period of very strong growth. The number of monthly iTunes transactions grew sevenfold from just over 2 transactions per 1,000 households in April of 2004 to nearly 17 during January of 2006. Over that period, the average transaction size almost doubled, from $3.55 to $6.69. Most consumers just buy a few songs at a time, while the average is boosted by a smaller number of heavy buyers. Only Apple knows how much profit there is at the end of the day on a $2 credit card transaction for 2 songs. But with transaction costs, hosting costs, and the wholesale price of the songs, there's not a lot of margin left. Only 3% of all online homes buy music at Apple's music store, and of those, most continue to buy most of their music on compact discs. Although Apple is the dominant leader in the digital music industry, the entire category of digital music made up just 4% of U.S. music sales in 2005. So,
and the other side of that coin is that Apple's also the number 5 store for sales, including brick and mortar stores,
right
behind Walmart and Best Buy.
Right, but we'll see what happens. We'll see if this was indeed seasonal when we get the next report. We'll see if music sales have increased
again.
I'm
kind of wondering if people held off waiting for Christmas gifts.
Well, that's the whole first half of January of 2006, though.
Hmm.
So it's probably not that, but it could be any one of a number of factors. We'll see when the next report comes out sometime February or March.
I'm interested to know where they're getting their numbers from, because Apple doesn't release these numbers.
It's Forrester Research. They know all this stuff. They know everything.
They're asking somebody.
Right. It's like the Rand Corporation. Right.
So of the people responding.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. So, well, they take it off their G10, whatever the
10K
thing, and they take it off of all that stuff. So that's where they get it. All right, our next caller is Norb from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Norb. What's your question?
Hey, guys. It sounds like you're celebrating already.
Oh, heck, we're celebrating every day of the year.
Anyway, Happy New Year.
Same to you, my friend.
I've got a simple question. About 2.5 weeks ago, I start getting ads from Circuit City and other people, little red X's instead of the graphics.
Yeah.
And I've gone into the troubleshooting phase of the thing, and it says blocking automatic picture downloads. You see little red X's, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I can't clear it up.
And where are you getting these in? Outlook Express?
Outlook Express, yeah.
Yeah.
Microsoft Outlook.
You did the update.
I probably did.
Yep. Yep.
Somebody told me there was an update that came in, and
yep, that's the new feature. They've turned that off for you because so many viruses come in that way.
Yeah, all right. But do you know the number of that download, that automatic download?
If you uninstall, update. It'll just reinstall again. It's a high It's a high priority security update. They'll keep giving it to you.
Oh, okay. And there's no way of getting around that?
Stop using Outlook Express.
Well, yeah, there's the big way. But the reality, I think you can turn those things back on. Again, I don't use Outlook Express. So
we've got that on our list before because it's happened in the past.
And it is under Tools, Options, Security, and...
Well, I put these people on my accepted downloads, accepted senders. And it still comes through that way.
Right, right. You do have to turn it off. Dave's looking for it. Look under Read.
Disabling attachments. We talked about this November of 2002.
Oh.
That's when they first did it.
Automatically download message when viewing in preview pane.
But, yeah, there is a way to get rid of that automatic X. These guys can't find it. We'll figure it out, and we'll let you know. We'll put it in the...
I just don't use it, and it's a lot easier to stick with Thunderbird, and you don't have to worry a lot of that junk, and it's got better junk control.
Well, yeah, but if you want to use Outlook Express, it does mean that it's blocked the picture.
Yeah, it's Tools, Options, Security, and there's an option that says Do Not Allow Attachments to Be Saved or Opened. And you want to uncheck that so it does allow attachments to be saved or open that could be a potential virus in the virus protection section of Tools, Options, Security.
Right. But the problem you're going to find is that this opens you up to other kinds of attachments, which could include viruses. So you want to be very careful about turning that back on. There's no distinction between graphics and viruses in Outlook Express. If you turn on one, you leave yourself open to the other. All right, our next caller, Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Well, thank you.
Sure.
I had a problem today. I'm getting a message that's saying that a problem caused Windows Defender service to stop. I tried restarting the computer. That didn't work. I tried searching help and support and got lost.
The Windows Defender service?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what does the message tell you to do?
To restart the computer or to search help and support on how to start a service manually.
Now, what antivirus software are you running, Linda?
XP?
No, what antivirus?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Windows Defender.
Well, that's anti-spyware.
Yeah, that's anti-spyware.
McAfee.
And it's up to date.
I'll double check that.
All right.
If you go into services and restart the service, if it stops again, there's something else wrong with the computer.
You can try that, and then if that doesn't work, what you can do if you haven't turned the services off, if you reboot in safe mode, reboot the machine, you hit F8 and go into safe mode.
Okay.
And if you go under start, programs, accessories, system tools, there is then the restore function. And you can pick a date. So if this started happening, say, yesterday, you can go back one day, select that day, particular restore point, and try using that to get you back up and running.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Wait, here's the other thing. Are you using, you know what? I bet you're using the Windows Defender beta.
I have no idea.
It expires today. You get that error message on the 31st when the beta expires. No, it expires today.
Well, then here's
the
another.
The only thing you can do is uninstall it.
Which she's got to do in safe mode.
Which she's got to do in safe mode and then re-download the not beta version from Microsoft.
Or do away with it.
Well, we're not recommending that you use it. There's a bunch that we prefer, but if you really need to run Windows Defender for some reason, the problem is the beta ends today, so you have to uninstall it.
Okay.
And then you're going to
add remove programs, and then you can either download it again from Microsoft, or you can go to securitytango.com and use Adaware, SpyBot, any one of those, and that's your choice, but... But the problem is that if you're running the beta, it's done today.
But the thing of it is, though, is how well do you want to trust Microsoft to protect your machine
From holes
right, the company that caused the problem.
Right.
Which
right.
can't even plug their own software. They also want to plug all the other stuff coming from the web. If you want to do that, I got some swampland for you. Such a deal.
That was Dave Enright, ladies and gentlemen.
I have no problem with
it. But that is your problem right there, Linda. I'm sure that's it.
We can guarantee it.
Today is the end of the beta test, and it's done. Well, you're going to get that today.
Interesting that it would come now and not at midnight when today is officially over.
It ends the hey, Microsoft wrote
yeah,
it.
When is the 31st? Yeah. Or midnight.
Logic do you want with that?
No, it could have started this morning at midnight when the 31st started.
Right, and she just saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right, our next caller is Chris from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year.
And the
Thank
same
you.
To you.
I got a question for you. I have a daughter who's going to be going off to college in the fall, assuming she graduates high school, which I'm sure she will.
Now your true expense starts.
I know. Tell me about it. She's going to need a laptop, and my question is, do I buy it now, or do I wait for Vista, or the other alternative, pros and cons of, say, Windows versus a Mac?
What I would recommend, Chris, is, and Steve can tune in on this, is first, go to the school.
Yep.
And find out, well, one, what deals they have to offer, because all the software in that she's going to need for various courses, you can get the academic versions. Usually through the school, they've got better deals. And based upon what she's going to be doing with, you know, this particular computer, they can tell you whether she's going to really need a Mac or a PC.
Right.
Or low-end or high-end.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I work for the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology. I breathed in the middle that time. And I tell people, thank you, and I tell people this all the time. Check out the real question, and because I'm agnostic, I have all three operating systems running. The real question is, who's her support group going to be?
Yep.
You know, if she's planning on taking it to the bookstore for support if she has a question or a problem, she ought to look into buying it at the bookstore and building some goodwill there. The other thing is, once she gets whatever she's getting, her friends can help her and stuff like that. But you're right. The initial purchase ought to be based on what she's doing at school and what the bookstore has for her.
If she's going into a graphics field or you know, illustration, exactly. Things like that, they're more likely to recommend a Mac.
The main thing I must tell you to do not fail to do this, is get a Kensington lock for it. They have 100 different names now. They used to originally be called Kensington locks because only Kensington made them. But it's on every laptop made, there's a little connector that lets you hook like a bicycle chain kind of device to it so she can chain it to something. Nothing walks faster in a college dorm than a laptop.
Don't tell me about it.
You know, it takes 2 seconds to unplug everything, throw it in your backpack, and walk away. Then you buy, you know, for $40, you buy a universal power supply. For another $10, you buy a mouse. I'd buy laptops all day for $50. So, you know, you want to make sure that she's got it lockable. And then that she does indeed lock it when she's sitting at her desk. But those are the things that you definitely have to deal with.
Okay.
And a nice touch with the new Macs is that you can run the Mac OS or Unix or Windows natively at full speed on them. So it's a nice single computer that can run either platform you want.
But again, wait until, you know, you take her on down to the school and check that out.
You know, if you're looking at next fall, so eight, nine months away, any computer sold today will be obsolete by then, or will be much cheaper because so many new models will be out by then.
Yeah. So wait until then, Chris.
All right.
It's always hard to say, you know, it's hard to say as a computer store salesman, but
yeah.
Well, right. No, I completely understand.
And the thing is, you know, they'll buy one now and then come back to me in August and say, "Well, I could have bought this one $500 cheaper now."
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and for the same money, you could have got a better one now, but you've now had 8 months to use it.
Yep. Right. And you're right. While I firmly believe in buying locally, for 4 years, locally for her is going to be at the bookstore.
Yeah. You know, if she's a couple hundred miles away. And she's got an issue. It's got to come back here.
How many times do you guys see during break somebody says, "Oh, I've got my kid's laptop."
I've got one in the shop right now. The kid's
Same
home.
Here.
Kid's home for Christmas. Can you fix it? Well, if you'd have told me before she got home, I could have ordered the parts faster.
Well, right, and that's the problem. And they bring it to you and they expect, "Well, my kid's got to go back on Monday. Can you fix this?" No, because it's Sunday.
Yeah. I had one last year. This is no lie. the kid came home for Christmas break.
Sure.
And it was right after New Year's. I get the call. My son just told me, and he's going back to school tomorrow.
Yeah.
That his computer isn't working. The kid had been home for 2 weeks. Talk about a frustrated parent.
And wanted talk to know, about a kid who didn't have a computer to go back to school with.
And wanted to, yeah, and they're all upset. Well, why can't they think? Why didn't you wait until you got on, we tried right back?
Do you have one I can borrow? Do you have one I can borrow?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We have a new one you can buy.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lins, and me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
There's a warm hello you keep turning to that's always right here at the heart of all when it means the most to you. One voice is clear.
Depend on us, 1180 WHAM.
Okay.
How long ago was that?
I am speechless.
Isn't that funny? Back in the day, this radio station used to have a song when they actually played music, too.
Our very own Alma Mater theme song. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
It is 45 minutes after the hour, and that's a way too easy listening kind of tune
it
for
is.
This station.
Well, that's the thing. And a lot of this stuff's kind of being re-archived. They've been finding it in tapes and old reel-to-reels and stuff and putting it in the system. I'm having a blast looking through this computer finding stuff.
All right, before we get back to the phones, both good and bad news. Good news for, I suppose, people who want to archive their DVDs, and bad news for people who make DVDs. The companies behind an encryption system for high-definition DVDs are looking into a hacker's claim that he has cracked the code protecting the new discs from piracy. A hacker known as Muslik64 posted on the internet details of how he unlocked the encryption, known as the Advanced Access Content System, or AACS, which prevents high-definition discs from illegal copying by restricting which devices can play them. The AACS system was developed by companies including Walt Disney, Intel, Microsoft, Toshiba, and Sony to protect their high-definition formats, including Toshiba's HD DVD and Sony's Blu-ray. Muselik 64, isn't that a type of glue?
Breakfast cereal.
Oh, yeah, right. Muselik 64.
For old people that make things run smoother.
And he's making things run smoother here.
Yeah.
Posted a video and decryption code showing how to copy several films, including Warner Brothers' Full Metal Jacket and Universal Studios' Van Helsing. There's a movie I really don't need. On a popular hacker internet blog and a video sharing site, the hacker also promised to post more code on January 2nd that will allow users to copy a wider range of titles. The vulnerability could pose a threat to movie studios looking for ways to boost revenue as sales of standard format DVDs flatten. In 2005, U.S. DVD sales generated some $24 billion with a B dollars for the movie industry. If the encryption code has been cracked, then any high-definition DVD released up to now can be illegally copied using the Muselik 64 key. Dun, dun, dun! Do we have a sting? Dun, 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 mystery sting, drama sting. Come on. All right. At any rate, we'll let you know how that all works.
Macrovision is the company that is most widely recognized as making these protection programs, and theirs is called RipGuard.
Which apparently doesn't anymore.
Doesn't anymore, yep. And again, we're back to our fight between the legal right of us to make a backup copy of our discs and the inability to make said legal backup. Especially families with small children. How many times has your DVD of, The Lion King been destroyed by sticky fingers?
Yeah.
Something, what was the quote I read once? Just stick is attracted to 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yes. They, you can pull them out of the bathtub perfectly clean, and 5 seconds later, they're sticky.
Yeah, exactly. It's the truth.
Daddy, I want to watch this. Well, not this one anymore.
Yeah, right. Well, who are we talking about who dupes every DVD he gets for his kids because they...
put the original master up on the shelf.
Right,
and then
go ahead. And that, use it as a Frisbee? Okay, now you want to watch it. It's going to take 5 minutes because I got to burn another
copy.
That's
your legal right to make a backup copy under copyright law, but apparently not now under the... Yeah, and the Digital Millennium Copyright. Well, now, see, that's the irony. The DMCA says you can't make a program to circumvent copy protection.
Right.
But does it also say you can't use such a program?
I don't know.
And so that's, the people that make it are in trouble.
Nor do I any longer play one on television. I watched a whole bunch of movies this week on DVD, and a friend of mine said to me, how many of them did you rip? And I had to say none, and I don't know if I was proud of that I am too honest or feel bad because I stupidly didn't think to.
Well, see, now that's the whole thing, you know, Netflix and other video rental stores. It's real easy. You pay your monthly fee. You get as many discs as you want. You want to watch it again, you put it back on your list.
Yeah, right. We'll be back on your list just after these commercial breaks, these little economic dramas. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 49 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Mean, vicious, nasty, no good, baggy-eyed, marble-headed ignoramus.
Don't you talk rang? About yourself like that, Rob.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 54 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. We're going to go right back to the phones now. Our first caller is Jeff from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Hi. I might have had a problem with my network.
Yes?
The desktop doesn't seem to be accessible from the other computers I have in the network, the wireless computers. I can see the laptops from the desktop, but that's a problem because all the printers, of course, are on the desktop. So if I want to print anything, it's not working properly.
You got it set up as being shared?
Yeah. Do you have file and print sharing services
loaded?
It was working
fine until this morning. It's been set up the same way for a
while. Everything works until it doesn't.
Wait a minute. Let me ask one key question. You didn't by chance do any Windows updates lately, have you?
Maybe.
Like, yeah.
Like Windows like Internet morning? Explorer 7.0?
No, I didn't do that one.
Well, that shouldn't kill.
You wouldn't believe what Internet Explorer 7 will kill.
I haven't touched that one.
Yeah, you can go into your network control panel, turn off file and print sharing, reboot, turn it back on, and see if it reloads itself properly.
Okay.
Well, the other thing to test is look up the IP address of that desktop machine. And on the other computers, you know, ping by IP and then try to log in by IP. It may be the network browsing is not working, but the file server is still working.
And they're all the same work. The work groups haven't changed or anything.
Right. They're all the same.
Okay. Yeah. You can find out a system's IP address by using ipconfig.
At a command line.
To open up a command line, type ipconfig, and it will tell you what your Ethernet address is. It'll generally be 192.168. either 0 or 1. something. And then you, on the other machines, open up a window and try to ping that, P-I-N-G, followed by that address. If that works, that means they can see each other at the lowest level. Now you
so
have
the
to,
network is working.
Right, and that's the first thing we need to test. Once the network is guaranteed to be working, then you can start playing around with things like opening up in the control panel and finding file sharing and all of that stuff and playing with that. But first we need to know whether or not the actual network is doing it. So that will tell you that part. So try that. And let us know. Get onto the forums and on Soundbites, and we can follow you from there to solve this problem. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi. For Christmas, I got a new laptop.
Excellent.
And under add and remove programs, pre-installed, it came with one called Wild Tangent Web Driver. So I
Oh my goodness, no.
Well, Wild Tangent is claiming to be a legitimate program run by a lot of game companies to allow you to play games for free on the internet. They require you to have spyware on your computer.
Right,
and Wild Tangent is the mechanism.
And a lot of
use.
These computers are being preloaded with a lot of these games that you've got to install. And again, that Wild Tangent is part of it. And it's there whether you want it or not.
And it's very hard to get rid of.
Right. So I ran SpyBot and it said, you know, it's possible, you know, it's spyware, but I didn't have SpyBot uninstall it because when I Googled it, it looked like a heck of a lengthy process to try and get rid of this. So I figured, let me call you guys first and see if you guys recommend for me.
Well, the first thing you have to decide is, do you want to uninstall it?
Yes.
Well, but if you do, any of the games you have that depend on it will stop working.
Well, I don't play games on this machine anyway.
Then go into the Ed Remove programs and uninstall.
Yeah, that won't do it.
Yeah, it's more complicated than that. We have some lists on our website already.
But what I found, though, with a lot of these brand-new machines is if you go in there and then also uninstall a lot of the games, that will remove a lot of the junk.
Yeah, remove the games that need it first, and then you can remove it. Now, the procedure to remove Wild Tangent is hacking in your registries, and it's very dangerous, and you can screw up the whole computer.
But as long as that, you know, the other games haven't been done, he might be okay right now. Because the games haven't been installed to register. You got to install each one of them. You go through and remove all those games. They haven't been activated before they're even activated. Very good chance of cleaning out Wild Tangent.
Well, so try that and let us know what happens.
We have the instructions already in our link list.
Right.
Hopefully with the appropriate dangerous if done incorrectly line on it.
Yeah, right. All right, we are done for another week. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. You need to call earlier and often. I want to thank everybody who called in. Please vote in our poll. Please check out AskNick.com as well as SoundBites.org.
That's AskNick.com.
Oh, are you going to play something lovely for us? This is it, folks. Our last broadcast of 2006. It's been a phenomenal 17 and a quarter years. And we will see you next year with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And to all of us, from all of us, Happy New Year.
Rochester's official winter weather station, News Radio 1180.